Every Sunday we see beautiful flowers in the sanctuary, and thank you for those who are celebrating their birthday and giving flowers, donation, offering to the Lord. We thank you. And speaking of flowers, we remember that butterflies love flowers, but it's winter now, so we cannot see any more butterflies flying around. Have you observed any butterfly lately? Butterflies look very harmless. They're like butterflies. I know a friend, she's taking care or propagating or growing butterflies, and it's so good to see beautiful butterflies. They are pollinators to fruit trees, friends of fruit trees, because they feed on flower nectars. But farmers who are planting cabbages or bok choy may not appreciate a small white butterfly. Small white butterflies lay eggs under the leaves of plants. Their eggs becomes worm in it, the plant lives. Now, if you like to see monarch butterfly in your garden, I've learned from Ati Arlene that you plant dill. If you want dill, it's very attractive to monarch butterflies. And if you want seeds, you go to our garden. I think there are a lot of dill seed I planted last year there. Hopefully they will again grow next year. And every time I come here at the church building, I saw in summer monarch butterflies. They lay their eggs on the dill, and then the eggs of the butterflies become worms. They eat plant leaves. Spiritually, we are also warned of spiritual problems that may probably cause damage inside the church. Together, let's seriously meditate on what Christ had declared in John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In other translation, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Remain or abide. Christ is the vine, and we are the branches. Christ expects branches to remain in him, to abide in him, and to bear much fruit. Pray that the Lord removes spiritual pests around you, and you may bear much fruit. Spiritual pests may appear like white butterflies, or spiritual pests may appear like harmless, like white butterflies. Spiritual pests can be harmless, like white butterflies. They may behave like Christians, which is much more dangerous. Be prayerful, be watchful. It warns in Romans 16, verse 17, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. Apostle Paul warned the Roman Christians that division may happen if they are careless. It happened in Corinth. In Corinth, there was quarrel in the church. There was faction in the church. There was division in the church of Corinth. Sad to say, there's quarrel, there's division, faction that may happen to every local church. I don't know any local church who had not experienced division. We do not judge, but we should be careful, seriously regard this biblical advice to be watchful. Let's continue reading our passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 and verse 10. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not all at all, meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and swindlers, or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. The immoral, the greedy, swindler, idolaters who do not believe God are excluded, not included from this advice not to associate with sexually immoral people. So who are the people that we are advised not to associate with? Sexually immoral people who claim to be brothers, who claim to be sisters. Take note of the term associate. What does that mean? What do you understand when it says do not associate with sexually immoral people? Apostle Paul used also the term do not yoke with unbelievers. How would you compare associate and do not associate with and do not be yoke with? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, Apostle Paul wrote, do not be yoke together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? We don't yoke with unbelievers, but we associate with them. How is that? What is the difference between to associate with and to be yoked with? To associate with is to mingle, to keep company, to connect or get acquainted with. To associate with acquaintance pertains to very shallow, not very intimate interaction. In comparison, to be yoked with, it entails, it requires intimacy of relationship. They have the same objectives. They have the same goals, especially spiritual values, principles, and beliefs. To be yoked with is most practically exemplified in the relationship of husband and wife. They may agree, we want to have children, okay? Then they come together. They are yoked together. We avoid and not associate with immoral people who claim to be brothers, who claim to be sisters. We may associate and mingle with unbelievers, but we do not yoke with them. However, we must be intentional when we testify of our transformation, our faith, our belief, our doctrines before unbelievers. It advises in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 to 6, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Our rule, being Christians, Christ has commanded us to testify, to witness. What can we do? We can use every opportunity, situation that God can offer us, would offer us. This is a real story that happened, and you know this. Some of you know this. Several years ago, there are church members, they visited potential believers. They helped clean the yard, they pruned the trees, removed trash, and then a neighbor of that person said, hey, can you help me here? And can you help me move this heavy trunk? And then a stronger man gladly went to the neighbor. That neighbor named Glenn. And they moved the heavy trunk. Over the course of time, Glenn accepted an invitation to attend the church. Eventually, he found friendship. Glenn was a loner, but he found friendship in joining that church. He was baptized and served the Lord with devotion. God bless his soul. Reflect on the first time you attend a local church. The first time you attend a local church, can you remember that time you attend a Christian church? Did someone invite you? Someone invited me. My girlfriend invited me. Why did you accept the invitation to attend church? Because of your girlfriend? Or your boyfriend? Accordingly, most first-timers were invited to attend church by someone, a friend, or a relative, or an acquaintance. Watch out for any involvement, any ordinary activity, or even special occasions. In an occasion like Christmas party can be a divine chance to invite potential believers, especially the person who always come to you, the person who always try to take most of your time, asking for something or telling you something, excited to be with you. Even at times you feel like that person take too much of your time. Maybe that person the Lord had already prepared for you to pray for and invite to church. Do you believe that the Lord had already prepared a potential believer for us, for you? Another Glenn, you may show kindness and goodness. He wants us to invite them to attend church, right? Let me repeat. I think I'm very soft in that. Do you believe that the Lord had already prepared potential believers another Glenn to show kindness and goodness? He wants us to invite them to attend church, right? Is it hard? Is it hard to invite? Don't just invite, pray. Keep praying. Lord, this person is bugging me. This person always comes to me. This person I am not very comfortable with, but she always feel comfortable coming to me. Do you want me to invite this person to church? Just ask the Lord. He will give you the right timing, in the right word, at the right time, when it's time for him, for the Lord to bring that person to join us. Together, let's reflect on what Christ our Lord instructed in Luke chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back. And so you will be repaid. When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And what we do, it is the opposite, right? It says when you give banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. It says in verse 12, do not invite your friend, brothers and sisters, or relatives, or your rich neighbors. But they are the ones who invite. Are we disobeying the Lord then? When we have Christmas parties, when we have birthdays, they are the ones who invite, right? Are we disobeying the Lord? It's the Lord who gave this command. Are we disobeying the Lord? Most often we miss opportunities to testify of what Christ has done in our life because we would rather invite Christians than non-Christians, non-believers. Why? Well, it says there, if you do, they may invite you back, so you will be repaid. We also expect them to invite us. Why? That's our human nature, to resist, disobey what the Lord says. We can only invite those unbelievers if the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. So pray, pray, pray. Whenever you have Christmas party, celebration, pray that you have that opportunity to invite potential believers. To testify of our transformational work, the work of Christ in us. But before that, we are instructed to wait. Wait and pray. Pray and always rely on the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of Christ. Again, why is it that we miss this command in Luke chapter 14? Because we are not empowered, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But when we are inspired, do not force yourself just for the sake of obeying it. It will be something you do not like. Unless the Holy Spirit inspire you, you will have that peace, you will have that joy in your heart as confirmation that it's the Holy Spirit who is at work in you. What do you think? Is it also considered as transformational work of Christ in us if we avoid immoral idolater brothers, if we do not associate immoral idolater sister, or those who claim to be brothers, those who claim to be sisters, but are immoral? Let's read again verse 11 of our passage. But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or a sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy or an idolater or slanderer, a drunkard, swindler. Do not even eat with such people. Take note of that. Apostle Paul did not even consider them as Christians. He just said, those who claim to be brothers and sisters. He did not even, in this translation, in the translation of NIV, they did not even translate it, who claims to be Christian, who claims to be believers. No, he did not say that. Because it's something not very appreciable to do that. So he would rather write, who claim to be brother, who claim to be sister. The Lord does not appreciate disobedience to his godly command. What do you think? The Lord does not appreciate disobedience to his godly command. And this is godly command. Do not associate. Do not even eat with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but are sexually immoral, greedy, idolater, slanderer, drunkard, swindler. It is a must. It is a must. Can you go back to the first part of 11? It says, but now I am writing to you that you must not, as compared to should not, must not, there's no option, no otherwise option. When it says that you should not, you have an option to do or not to do. But this is, if it says must, remember that whenever you read a command and when it says must, it is very strict command. God forbids. He prohibits us to associate. He forbids us to mingle or simple acquaintance with anyone who says they are brothers or sisters, but they are immoral, greedy, idolaters, slanderers, drunkards, swindlers. Do not even eat with them. Do not even eat with them. That's very tough. Can you accept that it is disobedience to God? That we commit sin before God if we associate and eat with those people? Will you avoid eating with such people if they are relatives, friends, family members? If together, for example, with those immoral, greedy, drunkard brothers, they are employed together with you in the same company, what can you do? What can you do? Pray for wisdom. Pray for proper behavior. God can solve any complicated concern, right? He is the one who commanded us. He also the one who would give us that solution. How we may behave, how we respond, the words we say, so that it would be a good testimony for His work in our life, and not trying to, you are, ano sa Tagalog yung sobra? You are over. Ano ba yan? Sobra ka naman. How do you say that in English? You are over. I don't know. You can translate that. Sobra ka naman. What else should we pray for? Pray for stronger faith. Pray that you will trust that the Lord, when He gave this command, it is for our betterment. Even in practical things, it is for our own good. Let's read what the Lord said in Mark chapter 10, verse 29 and 30. Truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brother or sister or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and field, along with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. Are you listening? Can you personally testify that you have better compensation when you followed Christ as your Lord, as compared in your life before you become Christian to your life right now when you followed Jesus Christ? Which is much preferable or better? Has your life been better? Can you sing like, my life is better when I'm following you? Do you know that song? You know that song. When you prioritize the gospel, here's a warning. Be wise, be careful whenever you share the gospel of Christ. Seriously pray to be inspired by the Holy Spirit, because sharing the gospel of Christ attracts adversities, persecution. But with the Holy Spirit at work in our life, persecution is signature to disciples, but you have that joyful peace, patience in your heart. So wait for the confirmation of the Lord, that the Lord is with you, that the Lord is the one working in you, that the Lord is the one speaking through you. Why? You will sense that joyful peace and patience in your heart as confirmation. So wait for that. Don't just, I'm tired of hearing that sermon, of sharing the gospel. No, if you are tired of it, pray that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Lord has already prepared a potential person, believer, that you would witness to. God does not command us anything that He had not prepared beforehand. Remember that we came into this world. We have nothing. We did not bring anything into this world, but everything has been prepared for us. That is also similar when He told us to be His witnesses. He already prepared that potential believer that you would witness to, that potential disciple that you would be discipling. Someone shared a personal experience. They had this women's fellowship, and there was a quiet woman. She regularly attended that fellowship, but for several meetings, she displayed little to no interest of Christian behavior, and it was confirmed that she welcomed bad elements into her apartment, bad elements of the society he invited to her apartment, and her neighbors complained about her, those unwanted visitors, and she was forced to leave her apartment. After the pandemic, she tried to join the women's fellowship again, but at that time, she was not quiet anymore. She was argumentative as compared to her former quiet demeanor. Now, if the Lord has situated you, if the Lord situates you in such adverse circumstance, how do you express practically the love of God to an argumentative person? How do we choose anyone we may associate with, and we still obey the Lord? Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 and 7 admonishes us, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. In the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." When it says guard your hearts and your mind, the Lord give you joyful peace so that you would not be confused or bothered or disturbed, distressed by such situation. If you sense that, stress, distress or bothersome situation, you know that you are trying to depend on your ability, your effort. So if you sense that, ask the Lord, "Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I don't understand everything, but fill me with your Holy Spirit." And you know that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life when you, even with that problem, concern that you have that peace, you have that joy. You know, you may not be able to understand what the Lord has already prepared for you, but you know you have trust that there is the Lord allowed that situation for your betterment. So always be filled with the Holy Spirit. Always ask the Lord. When we share the gospel of Christ, it's not always appreciated. Not everyone would appreciate it. Believers may appreciate it. Sometimes, even those who say they are brothers and sisters, They feel bad when the gospel is preached. They feel like, "Oh, the pastor is preaching too long. And now, I don't know, but if you may have heard that the average preaching time somewhere there is 20 minutes. 20 minutes. Wow, concise that 20-minute sermon. And the presentation of evangelism explosion, for the exact presentation of the evangelism explosion, is 40 minutes, 40 or more. Depends how fast the speaker is. So how can anyone understand the gospel in 20 minutes then, or how can you explain that? Unbelievers resist the Lord. They resist the scripture. That's for sure. So do not use the scripture when you try to rebuke unbelievers. They may not appreciate it if they are antagonistic to believers. Pray before you do that. But they may appreciate gentleness, kindness. They may appreciate that. That is the thing that you would like to show, gentleness. Unless the Holy Spirit regenerates their heart, their behavior is rebellion to the Lord. But we should not avoid them, right? It's not our business to judge unbelievers. It's not our business to adjudicate them. Let's read again verse 12 and 13 of our passage. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked person from among you. Now remember that. Whenever you think that this person is doing wrong and you know that it's not unbeliever, don't try to give a sermon you normally hear during Sundays. They would not appreciate. It's not you who would adjudicate them. It's the Lord. So this is a failure for many parents because they think that when they use the word of God, God would do not want you to do this and to do that. And then children would hate listening about God, about the word of God. Because why? Those children are not believers yet. Even if you are a believer, those children may not have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior yet. So they do not have the Holy Spirit in them. So how could they understand that word of God? And that's a failure of many Christian parents. Because they use the word of God when they teach their children. Wait until they become believers, and then you may use the word of God. So keep praying for them and share the gospel instead. When you rebuke them using the word of God, they may resist immediately. Like Apostle Paul, it's not our business to adjudicate anyone who rejects the gospel. It's not our business to judge them. God is the judge. He adjudicates impartially. So how could we constructively resolve issues of sexually immoral, greedy, idolaters, slanderers, drunkards, swindlers, who claims to be brothers, who claims to be sisters? Christ has prescribed it in Matthew 18:15-17. Let's read this meditatively. If your brother or sister sins, go to the point. Go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won over them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two other along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or tax collector. This biblical discipline is really, really tough. We need inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Surely, we do not want to alienate anyone, but we also want to obey the Lord. The Church of Corinth, they tolerated immoral wickedness that even pagans cannot accept. So what happened to the church? The church was spiritually polluted. They were divided. There was no harmony among them. And possibly new believers were confused. Which one should I follow? Do you follow anyone? Maybe they are close with. We pray that the Lord would bless our leaders to be exemplary in their lives, behavior, privately, or publicly. So if we knew, remember, our church leaders, just say a short prayer, quick prayer, Lord, bless our leaders, bless their lives, that they may continue to serve you faithfully. Bless them. Be prayerful what you may imitate. It says in 3 John, verse 11, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. It's easy to be good when everything is fine, when everything you experience is you, it's really good. It's easy to be good. But if situation is adverse, it's very difficult, what good can you do? What worse situation you were situated in? What is it? What is the worst situation that you suffered or endured? Imagine this. You were forced to be a slave against your will. That could be the worst. You are forced to be a slave. You accepted it because you need to survive. You need to eat. You need to be alive. Can you imagine that? Now, your master who made you a slave, made you work every day hard, but give you nothing, just food, just a place to live, just for clothing, nothing else. But that master is sick. Now, how do you care for him? Without your master, you would be where? Nowhere, because no one would take care of you. How would you care for that master? Reflect on what it was narrated in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 3. Now, Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel. She served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Commander Naaman accordingly has fear of God, and God gave it. It's written, the Lord had given victory to Aram because of him, because of Naaman. But Naaman ordered the Aramean raiders, attack Israel. They attack Israel. And there was this young girl. They took her, gave her to Naaman's wife to be slave there, servant of Naaman's wife. That young girl, you just imagine, she might have seen her parents killed. She might have seen her siblings, brothers and sisters killed. She might have seen the relatives and neighbors and friends killed. And she saw their beautiful home burned down, destroyed. Their properties, their vineyards, their everything they owned came to nothing. She had all the rights to hate Commander Naaman because Commander Naaman was the one who ordered the raiders to go. He did not prevent them from destroying those things. He did not even command them. He was even happy to see the raiders brought that young girl to him to become slave. Can you agree that it was divine plan of God for that young girl to become slave of Naaman? Can you agree that it was the plan of God? Naaman, Commander Naaman, listened to the advice of the young girl. What happened? He was healed from leprosy. And accordingly, in those times, there are many who had leprosy in Israel, but only the Aramean commander Naaman was healed. And it started when that young girl told her master, if only my master would go and see the prophet in Samaria and be healed. Eventually, what happened? Naaman, Commander Naaman, believed in God. Did you know that? He told Prophet Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 17 and 19, please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as pair of mules can carry, for your servant will never again. For your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. May the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm, and I have to bow there also. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servants for this. Go in peace, Elisha said or confirmed. Accordingly, when Naaman brought that soil from Israel, carried by pair of mule, meaning that would be very heavy. How heavy would a mule or donkey can carry? And there are two donkeys that they put soil on their back. Accordingly, when Naaman brought that soil from Israel to Aram, he made it into an altar where he burned sacrifice offerings to worship God. But he still served the king of Aram. How could we do that? Wherever God situates you, God has already prepared for you an opportunity, divine opportunity, for you to testify of his goodness, the transformational work in your life. God situates you for his divine plan, maybe to invite someone to attend church. Do you have that worst situation, that slave girl? I don't know what happened to her, but nothing was told about her name. Only what he said was written there. But it's worth included in the Bible. Do you think your word, do you think your lifestyle would be included, worthy to be included in the scripture? Perhaps when Naaman became a believer, even with very young age, perhaps that young girl, he promoted as mayordoma or supervisor of other servants, or the very close person whom her master, the wife of Naaman, could tell everything to her and trusted her. So maybe she did not live as slave without anything, any compensation. She might have been given a better life than her previous life because Naaman was commander of the Aram, the king of Aram. Some people may ask, why did Naaman not resign from being commander and live as Christian then? Because he wants to testify to the king, wants to testify to the king about his belief? Probably, I don't know. If he resigned as commander, the king would suspect that Naaman may have been thinking about rebellion against, or coup d'etat against the king, and the king would easily kill him. And he did not do that. Wherever we are, wherever you are situated, pray that God would use your life, your word, to be a testimony of his transformational work in your life. So what's for divine appointment? Potential believers are waiting for you to invite them. Attend church. Be reminded not to judge. Let's stand up and let's pray.